Hi, I'm Russell Harrison, the CEO here at Western Health. Welcome to the COVID catch-ups. These are sessions where I get to catch up with small groups of staff from across Western Health in a slightly different way to normal. We ask some questions, we have some fun, answer some questions, and hopefully just have a good conversation. Hello and welcome. I'm Russell Harrison, and today we've got a COVID catch-up with the COVID team, who've been doing some great work behind the scenes to generate our plans and keep us safe during the COVID crisis. Today we got with us Lauren.
Hi.
We've got Maureen.
Hi.
And we've got Casey.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us today. And I'd want to start by saying a huge thank you for all of the work that you've done behind the scenes and the huge amount of hours that you've put in to generate what have been a suite of really important plans, guidance notes, videos, and a whole raft of things that I know a lot of us have probably taken for granted and haven't quite realized the amount of work that's gone in to do all of those things behind the scenes. So a huge thank you for that. From me to you and to through you, your colleagues that are also working behind the scenes with you. So thank you for that. It's been a really interesting time. And I know a lot of you have been involved from very early doors, way back in sort of the end of January when we put together a very small team behind the scenes to start Western Health planning work. So you really have lived and breathed this for what has been a lot longer than most people. So, you know, thank you for all of the energy and effort you've put in. It's been hugely beneficial to the staff and community at Western. So thank you. Today really is a bit about a sort of question answer piece, and hopefully it's going to be good fun. And you know, if you're feeling brave and game for it, ask me a few questions and I'll ask you some and we'll see how it goes. So why don't we start with Lauren? Lauren, you're down as the project officer for COVID, but come from the chronic and complex care team. So obviously your world changed and you picked on some new responsibilities. So how's that been for you?
Yeah, it's been a really exciting change. I've come from working in a clinical role in occupational therapy, community-based rehab, and was seconded into a project role with a chronic and complex care division and then re-seconded into the COVID team. So I've really enjoyed sort of the opportunity to be adaptable and flexible and,
I know you're one of our Safer Care Victoria fellows. Yeah. So that was that helpful in terms of the work you've been doing? So some of the learning from that program?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, the fellowship was a great learning curve and it's been really good to be able to implement some of that into the COVID team. So we've done a bit of process mapping of workflows and, to find sort of solutions to some of the barriers we've come up against. So it's been, skills have been great.
And Casey, yourself, kind of podiatry manager and diabetic foot service coordinator, now COVID team member.
yeah, it was just too good an opportunity, I think, to get out and do something a little bit different, meet a whole other group of people within the organisation, and a really unique opportunity, obviously, in healthcare to do something completely different from podiatry and diabetes foot service.
You probably couldn't get further away from podiatry with COVID. And the last member of the team, Maureen, who this is bread and butter to, I'm sure, Maureen, is an infection prevention nurse and part of the infection prevention team. This is your daily joy, isn't it? Infectious disease and working to prevent that sort of spread. So,
yes. One of my former team said I love outbreak management, but also pandemics. So, yes, very much so.
And this is your second pandemic, I think, from memory, from what you were telling me earlier.
No, it's several.
There you go.
I started in SARS.
That's right.
And we had H1N1, and we were actually heavily involved in Ebola as well in my previous organisation, being the first one to go for testing with the patient.
So how has your life been in terms of, you've got new team members that have joined you, you've been in your sort of area of expertise, have you enjoyed the challenging work you've been doing?
Well, I'm fairly new to Western. I only started mid-September last year, and so it's a completely different role, and I was based at Footscray, so coming to Sunshine was totally foreign to me. But it's been an amazing collaborative experience, and I haven't just done infection control. I've learned a whole lot about the organisation, but also all of the different departments and how we can all pull together and work to our strengths.
And I guess it's been kind of quite interesting for all of you seeing very different parts of the organisation and working with different people that you possibly wouldn't have come into contact with in your normal clinical world.
I think it's been brilliant. And I also think from our perspective, having that organisational support and actually having a team put together to oversee this has been a really strong point for the organisation to provide that leadership and direction. And I think it's something quite unique. Mm. I wouldn't have had that support at my previous organisation. And I know it's mostly left to the infection control teams to do all of this. So it's a credit to Western. Mm.
Well, thanks, Lauren. Casey, how about yourself? You've kind of, as you said, you know, you've been out seeing different people. You've worked with, you know, a whole new sort of setup and probably found a whole lot of new contacts across the organisation. Yep, has that been really positive and kind of beneficial, do you think, when you go back to your kind of substantive role?
By far the best thing about doing the secondment was the people I met in that role. Mm. So working in a different location, for one, and just the people you incidentally interact with was great. Then the people we were dealing with on a daily basis to get the job done was completely different to my normal world and the team that we worked in. We didn't know each other before we started in this role, so it was really good to have interaction with a different group of people in that way too.
And Lauren, I imagine, you know, it's been pretty challenging in the work that you've had to do and the pace probably you've had to do it. And, you know, we've been inventing new things on the fly with PPE guidelines and producing those and face shields and all of those very different things. Have you managed to cope with those challenges, or what are some of those challenges that you've faced, if you want to share some of those?
I think when we initially came together as a team, I think producing guidance documents really quickly was a priority. And so I think we all sort of hit the ground running, but, you know, worked together really well to get work finished and across the line, and a focus point being translating the guidance recommended by the Department of Health and Human Services and translating that into a Western Health context was, you know, at the forefront of our minds. Mm-hmm. So thankfully now we've got time on our side, and so we've got more time to, you know, collaborate with stakeholders and really really focus on optimising the quality of what we're producing. But yeah.
And how about yourself, Maureen? You and Nicole probably were the first two cabs off the rank as part of the planning team with Marion way back when. So you've been living this for a fair few months. Since mid-January.
I've actually been following it since it first started because I get daily alerts from around the world of all the different things. So I'd been tracking it and had alerted Nicole to it, and Marion was also aware. So I suppose it was a lot of long hours working 10, 12-hour days just to get the things done. Mm. And it was a lot of work, but, you know, it's such a rewarding experience to go through, and you're doing it for the right purposes that you don't mind doing that.
And I guess, as you say, a sort of – I'm not going to use the word veteran because that is the wrong word, but you've kind of been through a few of these crises and pandemics. I would imagine you get quite a lot of learning out of these that we hopefully will capture and kind of put into the plans rather than, you know, we forget and go on a shelf. So do you think we'll kind of be able to capture all the learning and all those quick reference guides and things and keep them, you know, relatively refreshed and alive?
I think you have to kind of generalise them. Each one's very different. Mm. And so what I was used to was having like an emerging pathogen plan that you could be quite agile with and flex, but you always have to bear in mind each one's different.
Yeah.
And they have different infection prevention or control requirements, and it really depends on the risk. So it really is each time, but having just a general process and flexibility to adjust to it makes it easier to do.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Cassie, how about yourself? You've been in a different environment. You've clearly had a ball. Has the organisation supported that and made it easy for you to sort of be in that seconded role, or have we made it, you know, way too complex and sort of difficult?
It's definitely nothing complex about the secondment. I think I had a couple of days off. I came back to work on a Tuesday and they said, yep, they want you to go. On Thursday I was working in the team. So there was no barriers from a logistics point of view in getting me across. And, yes, definitely the organisation did support. The focus when I joined the team was accreditation. It was the same week that accreditation was happening. And you could sort of almost feel like people going, oh, not another thing we've got to deal with. But the second accreditation was wrapped up, people's focus went purely onto the one thing. Everyone in the organisation was thinking and talking COVID, and it was amazing to see how much happened when everyone was doing the same thing.
Yeah, and I guess that's the benefit of some of the pre-planning that Maureen and Nicole and Marion had done to get us to that point that we could launch very quickly and smoothly across from, yeah, almost business as normal to businesses being very different to normal. And how about yourself, Lauren? You know, again, similar sort of organisation support for you to come into the team and do what you need to do?
Yeah, I've had incredible support from, well, both the Chronic and Complex division and also from Nicole and the COVID team. And similarly, you know, I was working my project role in Chronic and Complex on, I think it was Tuesday, and then that morning I think I came down and met the team, and the next day I was working in the COVID team. So, yeah, it's been incredible how sort of flexible and agile everyone's been.
And Maureen, pretty stressful, long hours, as you say, lots of things to do on the fly, new organisation, new site. How have you managed to keep some sort of, you know, lighthearted spirit amongst the team, or, you know, some brevity and some joy rather than it all being kind of negative and overwhelming?
I think just our working relationship and having that dedicated space. I think one of the most rewarding things for me was working with Western Foundation, and particularly Danny and Karen, because I was given the task of PPE innovation. And just doing a lot of research to find out how we could conserve and preserve and have alternative things. So getting our volunteers to make face shields, working with Danny to source fabrics for our cloth gowns, and the overwhelming community response in helping us make cloth face masks in case we ever needed them down the line.
Yes. Yeah, and as you say, that community support through the foundation has been incredible. And I think the whole community around the hospital has been, you know, amazing, from all the things they've donated, from chocolate right through to face masks and everything in the middle. So,
yes, and for personally, I have an hour and a half drive home, so I listen to audiobooks or different things. So it takes the time out, but I'm someone who kind of thrives on that energy, and I go home and I actually read about COVID.
There's no escape at work or at home.
No, because you kind of feel like it just moves so quickly, and we're up to version 21 of the Department of Health guidelines, so you kind of have to stay on top of it and see what else is happening around the world and get the best learnings from their mistakes so we can prevent it from happening here.
Lauren, how about yourself in terms of, you know, the community at large? Restrictions are starting to lift. I'm not going to say the world is returning back to normal because it's kind of far from normal, but things are starting to open back up, restaurants, cafes. How is that sitting with you in terms of the knowledge of what you've learned through the COVID team and things happening in the community, and it's still a very different environment inside the hospital?
Absolutely. Yeah, things are starting to ease, particularly from Monday with the sort of formal easing of restrictions. And I understand that's sort of the next phase, I guess, that Western Health is moving into now, with Kate Cromwell leading that next phase, is sort of the implications, I guess, of those easing of restrictions on Western Health and what that looks like for us in terms of visitation restrictions and, you know, what our sort of our spaces look like, how we're physically distancing, and that's the conversation we're starting to have at the moment, is what that looks like and how we can put that into guidance for staff.
And I guess pretty challenging with some of the spaces. I mean, we sat in Joan Kerner, it's a fantastic building with lots of space, but some of our other sites are a little bit different and a little bit more cramped. So I suppose still a fair bit of work for us to do around making sure we can protect folk and keep those physical distances up.
Yeah, and I think there's been a lot of creative problem solving, you know, thinking about those sorts of issues, and I'm sure there'll be lots of potential solutions sort of coming out of that. Yeah.
Okay. Casey, you know, time travel. So you've gone forward 6 months in time. Mm-hmm. You're looking back at all of the fun and blood, sweat and tears you put into the project role and being part of the COVID team. You get one golden ticket. Looking back, what's the one thing that we've done as an organisation that you think we've got to preserve that going into the future, whatever that may be?
The collaboration between teams and departments, for sure. This has been really unique in my time in healthcare, that people have just forgotten where they're paid from or what their job title is, and they've just gotten together to get a goal achieved.
And do you think we can continue that into business as normal or business as semi-normal?
I would like to hope so, yeah. It may take some restructuring of teams and some mingling of disciplines and, and a new way of thinking about it. But, yeah, it proves that people work better when they're working with people unlike themselves.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Mm. That's an interesting way to put it. Mm. Maureen, how about yourself? If you could look back, what would be that one thing you said, we've got to keep that?
I think the focus on just basic infection prevention precautions, so standard precautions, reinforcing that, and hand hygiene, and as you said, the collaboration.
Yeah, it's amazing that it still amazes me the amount of people, and not you, but other colleagues that have said, you know, hand hygiene's been really front of mind. You work in a hospital, that should be front of mind all the time.
Oh, it should be, yes, but I think this has really highlighted the importance of it. And you can just see it out and about all the time.
Yeah. And Lauren, how about yourself? What's your one thing that you'd love to preserve?
Well, it's something I haven't been directly involved with, but the opportunities around telehealth consultations and video conferencing consultations, I think, is really an exciting sort of avenue that we've, obviously started to take, and hopefully that's something we can hold on to in the future. And I know there's a lot going on around evaluating that at the moment, and it'll be exciting to hear what the learnings are.
I think both in secondary care and primary care, telehealth has sort of burst out from nowhere, really, and is probably here to stay forever.
Yeah, yeah.
I know a lot of patients won't want to give that opportunity up because it's very flexible and very easy for them.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Okay. Mm. Three good ones. Mm. Okay. So you've done the time travel piece. What's anything you want to get off your chest in terms of, if only the CEO, because you've got his ear, would do X, my life would be great, or our life would be better, or, you know, that would be a fantastic thing to do. What would it be? We'll start with Maureen.
I actually think you've done an amazing job, and the whole executive, so I actually don't have any comment for that.
There you go. I'll take
I think
that
setting
one.
Up the team was a brilliant and quite innovative thing that other organisations perhaps could learn from, and having it dedicated to do all of this.
Okay. I think that, as you say, the whole leadership structure in every part of the organisation has done a great job at stepping up. And I think that's a unique part about Western Health. People want to get on and support their community and their colleagues very differently probably to a lot of other health services that people have talked to me about. So I think it's a real strength of ours that we've got to preserve. So thanks, Maureen. Casey, how about yourself?
Not so much if we could do differently, but could we do more of inter-hospital collaboration? So this was, again, a very unique time that every single hospital in Victoria or Australia was working on something very similar, so similar policies, procedures, guidelines. Mm. How can we collaborate more with the people who are in similar situations to share that information on a rapid way?
Mm. And does that... I mean, because of COVID, that probably exists now. So I suppose the challenge is keeping those lines open to folk that you've met in other places to do that.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess it's done probably quite well at local levels. Like, I know from a podiatry point of view, I catch up with all of the managers around Melbourne and we find out what's going on.
Yeah.
But how do we broaden that out to be more health service-wide rather than just...
Well, as a group of CEOs, we do that a fair bit. Generally is sort of normal operating. We've done it a lot more for COVID and we've shared a lot more stuff. But I think that that's kind of been starting to come into the fore for the last couple of years about the sort of CE community working together differently. And I think the DH are also sort of getting involved in that process about how do we collaborate differently as a system. So we're all treating Victorians at the end of the day and we're trying to get people the best care in the best time possible. So we've got some big challenges to solve, but I think collaborating is the only way to do it. Mm. Lauren, how about the family side of it? Were they a bit sort of stressed that you were working in a hospital and therefore you might be more at risk of COVID and you shouldn't be going to work? And, you know, have you had to sort of allay anxiety on the sort of home front?
Not so much, actually. I think my family has been quite the opposite. I think I've been the one saying, oh, you know, we need to be more careful. But my brother works as an ICU doctor, and so I think there's probably more concern for him than me because I haven't had patient contact, and I've been working in the basement for the last 3 months, so I've sort of felt quite protected. So actually, no, from the family side of thing, people they've all been pretty relaxed about it.
Yeah. And Casey, yourself?
Somewhat. I'm pregnant and found out very early on during the COVID journey. Thank you. So I guess initially we weren't sure what the risks were involved in pregnancy. So there was some concern from my family more so than myself, I would say. But similarly, we were in the basement. We were very well protected. So I felt safer than when I went to Coles or Bunnings.
Yeah, a lot of people have said that. They actually feel safer at work than when they're actually shopping.
Yeah.
And Maureen, yourself?
I actually, my partner is French-Spanish, so he was more concerned about his family overseas and particularly what was happening in France and Spain, but he's actually been quite anxious about me.
Yeah.
He and I, I did a course through on COVID through the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, and I just sent him the link and he actually did it. That informed him.
Yes.
And he was much more settled over that, but he still thought I was coming to a high-risk environment.
Yeah, and I guess it was, I suppose, the media hype around this didn't help that sort of family sense. And as you say, looking overseas, it was a pretty different and very dramatically different sort of picture that they were dealing with, particularly in Europe and America.
Mm, very much so, because his brother was admitted a couple of weeks ago into ICU in France, and initially we thought it was COVID, but it was just your ordinary pneumonia, fortunately, and he's done well. But that's the kind of thing that he was having to deal with.
Yeah, pretty challenging. And then you're off walking into hospitals where, you know, and actually hands-on dealing with things. Thank you for coming to work every day and sort of helping educate others. In terms of kind of any final reflections, have you sort of looked after your own well-being? Have you been using the wellness hubs, or have you been just too busy in the basement to escape?
We've been too busy, probably. We went up once and it was really nice, but we never went to do it again.
It's very relaxing.
We barely got time for lunch. Yeah. We'd go and get a coffee. That was about it. But I think we were there for each other, and Nicole was fantastic in debriefing or just coming in and chatting to us. We'd have lunch. She'd bring us in lunch regularly.
Yeah.
Mm. It was good.
Mm-hmm. So you say sort of team spirit amongst the team sort of kept people going.
And, and also for me within the infection prevention team, we had another person, Terry, seconded into the COVID team. So that took quite a bit of pressure off me as well to do that collaboratively with her and for all the infection prevention side.
Yeah, cool. Any final reflections that you've got or anything you want to kind of impart?
Not got a reflection, but I've got a question. I was always very curious about what it was like to be yourself or Tash or Marion, like people with the responsibility of leading this, leading the organisation and the public through this time. What was it like in the early days when we didn't know much at all and there were so many unknowns?
Oh, I guess it was, I suppose, interesting is the word I would use, because I think, you know, in all the presentations that we'd done, I remember back when Maureen, Marion and I were in the auditorium here sort of broadcasting to standing room only. The first slide has always been, you know, dynamic and changing. And I think there's been it has moved a lot, as Maureen said earlier, sort of 21 different variants of guidance notes coming out. And I think we've all been learning and collaborating at speed, which is always a tough one to sort of, it creates a sort of sense of anxiety. And I think, you know, part of my job and the leadership team is to try and make it less anxiety provoking for folk. And I guess part of that was the formation of the COVID team to actually put a lot of expertise in the room and work through stuff and come out with things that we could then promote to the organization through those channels to say, yeah, this is as much as we know, and we can give you that information. And, you know, yes, it may change tomorrow, but this is the best we know at the moment. And I think my sense has always been that as long as we can be upfront and honest with our staff and our communities, that's the best we can do, and we'll be as honest as we can. And that's always been my motto, to tell folk, you know, this is what we know and this is what we don't know. And when we know what we don't know, we'll tell you about it. So I think it's been, you know, part of the job, but I think the heavy lifting's been done by you guys, and we've been able to promote that. And, you know, we've helped share that with other organisations, and we've helped share it across with the department, and they in turn have shared stuff back. So I think it's been evolving. And that's a bit like healthcare generally in sort of leadership. You know, it's never easy and it's never the same thing. So you've got to be adaptable. But I think, you know, the aim is to utilise the resources that we have at Western to the benefit of our staff and our patients and our community. And I think, you know, I think, as you said earlier on, COVID has allowed us to excel in that space. And I think even before that, Western does that hugely well most of the time. And, you know, the forefront of our being is to care for our community and our patients. So I think that that's part of, yeah, the fabric of the place.
Mm. You make it sound so easy.
Well, if you've got great people, it generally is easy. And I think Western is full of great people that want to do their best for their patients and their community and their colleagues. And I think, yeah, that level of commitment makes my job all that much more easier. You know, as you guys have shown, you've all been redeployed from different roles to come together in a bit of a cauldron to create stuff at speed, and you've done that and had a ball doing it. You know, a number of places probably wouldn't have staff that would want to put their hands up or be that flexible or as work as hard as you guys have had to work to create the stuff you've done. So I think that's a real strength, and yeah, I never take that for granted, but it's part of the fabric of the place. So any other questions, Maureen or Lauren? If you're feeling on a roll, I'm going to be brave and ask a question coming this way. I've asked a lot your way.
No, I think communication has been a really strong point all throughout of this, with the daily bulletins, your videos, and I think the microsite was a fabulous addition to all of that, and then all of the different podcasts that have been done, because I think communication demystifies this, and there's been a lot of concerns and anxiety around COVID and around PPE and the risk to staff.
Yeah.
And the more you can reassure that and reassure it from the top down, the more secure the staff feel coming to work. And that's always been a focus for me, because I went through quite a torrid time with H1N1, and I myself got it, and one of my team, but we also had staff get it who needed to be tubed and in intensive care. And staff wellbeing and that staff anxiety, particularly in your high-risk areas, is something that you do have to address. And I think that was recognised from the very outset, and there was always clear communication for that purpose.
Yeah, and I think probably a bit of a plug for our comms team for helping do that. And as you say, the microsite has been widely shared, shall we say, with other organisations and staff groups, because there's a lot of great stuff on there. And I think we probably take it for granted, but we got a comment and a applaud it from another health service senior executive who said, you know, that's just incredible. We can't do anything like that. And I think we just go, that's well what we do. So a great bit of comms across the board.
It was excellent. And, like, the comms team was so available even after hours and on weekends if there was, as we were getting daily case daily definition updates, that you'd have to go and text them and get them in contact to upload it onto the microsite.
No. Well, excellent. Any final thoughts, Lauren, from yourself? Or?
I was interested on the topic of wellbeing, how if you've got any tips for maintaining wellbeing in the context of COVID or any other sort of pandemic.
Especially in your role.
Have a great team. Oh, I think you've got to have a life away from work and do things that are not work-related. Hats off to Maureen, who does COVID at work and goes home and does COVID at home.
Oh, I do other things.
I like pulling your leg. But I think it's that downtime you've got to have, whether it's the drive in the car, whether it's a walk around the block, you know, whatever it might be, playing with your kids, something completely non-work related that just sort of helps you debrief or debunk or whatever it is you want to do. Because the jobs are stressful enough, and we all have to do that. So I think just some downtime is always helpful to sort of keep it levelled. I've been missing my sport. I usually play rugby, so I've missed that. So, wandering around the block or down, walking about has probably helped me. I think it's just whatever works for you, whatever that is, just take some downtime away from the job just to sort of recharge a bit and get the grey cells going back when you get into it.
Great. Thank you.
Cool. Well, thank you, ladies. The time has flown by. It's been really entertaining for me. And again, a huge thank you for all the work that you guys have done from the basement at Sunshine that's had some fairly wide-reaching consequences and impact. So on behalf of all of your colleagues for that great work and for the team that are not here through you guys, thanks hugely. Keep well and stay safe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening to the COVID Catch-Ups, and please feel free to share any of these episodes with any of your colleagues who you think might be interested.